You might note that as we go further in this section, in Acts 16, verses 6 through 10, that God speaks to Paul in a vision, and Paul is obedient to that. He was spoken to the Lord with a heavenly vision, and he was obedient to that call. And so he's a man who's obedient to God speaking to him. And as you say, sometimes God says yes, and sometimes God says no. And it may be harder for some of us to accept the no than the yes. And maybe for some of us it's harder to handle the yes than the no. But Paul seemed to be capable and was mature in his faith and walk with the Lord, that he, when the Lord closed the door, he wasn't going to force it open. And what may have happened if he tried to, we will never know. Praise the Lord for that. But he is sent, and he goes to Troas, a large city, a coastal city, as we can see in our map. And it is there that he has this this vision. And then we read in verse 10, now after he's seen them immediately, we sought to go to Macedonia. And many point out that this this is a change in grammar at this point. And just to highlight that, that it's very possible that at this moment, Luke, the physician, joined them. We'll hear the word we and us, for example, in verse, later on in the chapter, verse 16, Spirit of Divinity met us, and so forth. So we and us begin, you hear that, and it's suggested that this is when Luke joined them. So, making the assumption that's true, this turning away from these other locations, God had intended Luke the physician to be with Paul, Silas, and Timothy on their travels. And that was an added blessing to them. So not only where they went, but with whom they went was impacted by this.
So, Emil, just going back to your comments, because the message was, come over to Macedonia. It's a man. Come over to Macedonia and help us. Where is the man?
In verse 9. That's a man. Some suggested that might be Luke, but the scripture didn't say anything, so I just leave it at that. I didn't really get your question. Probably he spoke that language so Paul could understand it. I think one of the beauty about the scripture, when God wants us to know something, he will let us know. And if he don't, I think we shouldn't really spend much time on that. So we could move on because we have many scriptures to cover.
Is that a good way out?
Yeah, that's good. That's a good way out. I'm thinking too that this whole Macedonia and Philippi are regions that are within the same vicinity. And what's the result? Instead of finding a man literally, what does he find in Philippi? He finds women. Women where? At the hour of prayer. Where are they? As it is custom, they went out at the hour of prayer and we sat down and spoke to the women who had assembled there. I like to think as you come across women in Scripture, how important a role they serve in the testimony. You remember it was Mary Magdalene who took this glorious message to the disciples when all disappeared. The glorious message of the new dimension of things that's to begin. Here, what is happening for the Apostle Paul is he's finding women, and there he finds a certain woman, Lydia. And to me, that seemingly is part of this come over to Macedonia mentality, the beckoning by a man.
I think the point also that we need to highlight the matter of prayer, because in the book of Acts, it seems like as you read that, there is a lot of preaching, a lot of traveling. 28 chapters in the book of Acts, I believe, and I stand to be corrected, prayer is mentioned 29 times. So there is one prayer for every chapter and one more. prayer is very, very important. Again, we get taken up with the matter of they were going around everywhere and preaching, but they were prayers. In the beginning of the book of Acts, prayer preceded the coming of the Holy Spirit upon the disciple and opened the door in regard to the preaching of Christianity. When Cornelius, who was a Gentile, was to be introduced into the kingdom, the prayer, he was a man who prayed. Before Paul and Barnabas went in chapter 13, the assembly prayed. And here before Europe is being conquered, prayer is mentioned. It is very, very important, the matter of prayer, because that's again, those who are, all of us who are serving the Lord need to depend on the Lord and need to be in constant in that sphere of depending on Him, seeking and looking for direction all the time. So you find the prayer is much highlighted. You don't really think of that in the book of Acts. You think it's preaching all the time and teaching, but prayer is very important part of this whole thing.
We spoke earlier of the sanctified common sense, reliability of God's guidance, the fact that we don't want to be those who inaccurately describe the leading of the Spirit in a way that makes us so afraid to take a step that we don't do what is plainly in front of us. And so when this vision comes to them, it says they assuredly gathered, I think the King James says, that the Lord had called us to preach the gospel to them. And so they go to Philippi. Now the man said in the vision was, let's go to Macedonia, come to Macedonia. And as I mentioned earlier, this is a region, this is not a city. So where to go in Macedonia? Well, it makes sense. This is just a sensible thing. Let's go to the main city, the first big city that we come to, because that's probably a good place, a fertile place to present the gospel. And although the vision didn't say, come to Philippi and help us, they went into the region of Macedonia, and it was sensible to go to Philippi. And then in Philippi, where to go in Philippi? What should we do to preach the gospel? There was no synagogue, evidently, in Philippi. It said that if there were 10 Jewish men in a city, then a synagogue would be established. Evidently, there were not 10 Jewish men in Philippi, and so people would gather at the waterside to pray, at the riverside. And so where to go in Philippi? Let's go where people pray. Let's go where there's interest in spiritual things. It's a very helpful habit to keep our ears tuned to what people around us say, to see what their interest is in spiritual things. There may be some who have absolutely no interest in spiritual things, and perhaps somehow the Lord will use us to introduce some thoughts of Christ to them. But it's also very relevant to recognize, look, this is somebody who is interested in spirituality, who is interested in the spiritual aspect of life, as they might believe it to be. And so we can be used by the Lord to you remember how it said, when Paul was told by the Lord in Acts 26, he describes the phrase to open their eyes and turn them from darkness to light. And one brother said, well, what do you need to open people's eyes? You need an eye opener. You need some eye opener. So you start with where they are and you start with what they are thinking about, and you find a way that the Lord has already put something in that person's life to open their eyes. And so they go to the place where people already are interested in prayer, and they present the word of the Lord there. And the Lord opens the heart. This is key, I think, in verse 14. The Lord opened her heart, opened Lydia's heart. It wasn't, again, that Paul went and was very persuasive and was a really nice fellow and attracted Lydia to hear more. It was that the Lord opened her heart. So Paul is obedient to what he knows. He makes sensible decisions for what is not explicitly said, and then he lets the Lord do the work. And when the Lord does the work, he follows up.
Now, I understand that Philippi was the main city of trade route from east and west, and that would be naturally where you would come to Philippi. Thyatira also was on that trade route, and Lydia, a seller of purple, she had a business going, and so she would be found there where the tradespeople came. to buy their wares. The proper place to go, for anyone wants to make headway or entry into a city or a country, they go by the common main entrance to that country. And I believe this was the common thing that he would do. But I may be wrong as far as the trade route, but I think that's what it is.